Hello, everyone. This is your host, Cobra Number One, and you are listening to The Barbershop here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network, exposing racism, white supremacy for exactly what it is so that you and your loved ones can navigate this stinking, nasty, wretched, disgusting system. The purpose of this podcast is to eliminate all confusion in regards to racism and what it is so that those who are classified as black are no longer confused. We find this show to be necessary because before a problem can be solved, it has to be identified and understood. And too many black people do not understand racism. Visit us at CobrasInAction.org, a website dedicated to countering racism and replacing it with justice. Please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and SoundCloud. We're always publishing content to all of our social media sites, so please follow. This would have been our ninth podcast in the series titled Understanding Racism, White Supremacy, in which we aim to show how racism is present 24 hours, 7 days a week, in all non-white people's lives. But today I'm taking a break from the series to discuss news articles I found interesting this past week. So we're going to take a quick station break, and when I come back, we are going to get into the news. You are listening to The Barbershop here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network. Be right back. Before a problem can be solved, it must be understood. And too many black people do not understand racism. Go to www.cobrasinaction.org today and learn more about racism and how we can solve this problem. Welcome back to the show. I am your host, Cobra Number One, R.G. Reed, and you are listening to The Barbershop here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network. Obama urges Americans to give Trump a chance. This was the first article. This is the first article I want to talk about that I read this past week. What happened to Trump being so scary? Prior to Trump getting elected, we were told by Obama, Democrats, and liberals of how dangerous Trump would be if he were elected. We were told of how world leaders were hiding under their office desks, in their penthouse office suites, and capitals around the world, anticipating nuclear holocaust. We were told of how markets would crash. We were told of how the United States would turn into a Nazi state if this crazy racist was elected. Well, he has been elected. Now what are we being told? Obama is urging us to give him a chance. The leader of the free world is urging us to give this man, who was supposed to be such a big threat to world stability, urging us to give him a chance. World markets have not collapsed. As a matter of fact, world markets have actually improved since the Trump election. What does all this mean? I would first like to urge President Obama to keep quiet. The extent to which he has allowed white people to use him is sickening. But more important than that, what does all of this indicate? It will be business as usual, folks. In the system of racism, white supremacy, refinement is the order of the day. We've already seen Trump tone down his rhetoric, and he has made it clear there will be no investigation of Hillary Clinton. Read up on refinement on cobrasinaction.org. What does Nellie Fuller say? Until you understand racism, everything else you understand will only confuse you. Divisions emerge in Europe on whether to do deals with Trump. This is the second article. I predict flat out that Europe will not only do deals with Trump, but that we will see an unprecedented level of cooperation from Europe. Russian leader Putin, racist, will have a partner in Trump he can actually respect. See, when Putin looked at Obama, all he saw was nigger. Obama is so confused about racism, he never figured that out. But Putin will work with Trump and all the Western European powers that have had issues with Russia since the Cold War. All of their little white supremacist fears will be put to rest. Trump will assure these racists that they have nothing to fear, that everyone is going to be doing amazing deals, and that white supremacy will be maintained with little to no resistance at all. Just the way they like it, and just the order of the day in these refined times. Jeff Sessions is expected to bring sweeping changes to the Justice Department. So they are expecting that Jeff Sessions is going to be our next Attorney General. This is a senator from Alabama, Senator Jeff Sessions. What does an Attorney General do? And what should you expect? The Attorney General heads the Department of Justice. He or she is the chief lawyer of the government. What this really means is that the Attorney General represents the country in all legal matters. Much of this is done by the appointments he or she recommends to the president. The Attorney General appoints federal judges who can serve for life. What do federal judges do? They resolve matters brought before the United States federal courts, both criminal and civil. A racist will be making these appointments for the next 4 years, assuming Trump completes his first term. What does this mean for black people? This means that there will be no more illusions about white people attempting to make justice fair for black people. And that's all it ever really was, folks, an illusion. But the gloves are off now, and white people are not as refined anymore. You see? They are not as refined anymore. Private prison stocks have already gone up. Why? Because they are correctly anticipating a large increase in prisoners, a large increase in black bodies, slaves. Jeff Sessions is not going to pretend to be a friend to black people because he doesn't give a shit about niggers, which I think could be a good thing if it makes black people less confused about the people who are controlling our lives. Trump calls Obama a very good man after historic White House meeting. Why did he say this? Trump talked so much crap about President Obama. He called him names, said he wasn't American, said he was incompetent. Basically, he said what many white people were thinking. What is this nigga doing in the White House? Now his tune has completely changed. Now he is saying how he and President Obama had such a historic meeting. How Obama is such a good man. How he's going to call on Obama for advice. Oh, and isn't that nice? But Obama was supposed to be so incompetent. You see, folks, Trump is adhering to the system and its order of the day. Refinement. White supremacy is to be maintained with as little resistance and cost to whites. Period. Donald Trump will either adhere to the system or he will be removed from it. And it looks as if he is adhering. No surprise there. White people have the option of practicing white supremacy with as little resistance as possible, or with a whole lot of resistance and pushback from black people. They will choose the former over the latter. No surprise there. That is just logical. Does Dallas homeless population show the city is racist? Now, a couple of things about this article. One, the title of the article itself indicates some question as to whether or not white people in Dallas are racist. And if they are racist, how much more racist are the white people in Dallas as opposed to, say, the white people in charge and running things in Atlanta, or the white people that are in charge and running things in Washington, D.C., or San Francisco, or New York City? Somehow, maybe the white people that are in control in Dallas are more racist than white people in other cities who may not be racist at all in some cities. This is what the title of the article is indicating. This is refinement, folks. Again, white people in 2016 are refined. All white people are racist. Does Dallas homeless population show the city is racist? You don't need the homeless population to show that the city is racist. White people control everything, and all white people are racist, period. So you don't have to point to some city's homeless population to show that it's racist. Because you may have a city that may not have a population, that may not have a homeless population as great as the homeless population in Dallas, but that has no bearing whatsoever on whether the city and the people, the white people in the city, are racist. Again, this is more trickery from white people. They are trying to change the requirements as to what racism is in order to confuse you. Homelessness is a symptom of racism. But homelessness in and of itself does not have to correlate with racism and the degree to which a person or a group of people are racist. That is false. White people are racist, period. I don't care if there is a homeless population or not. White people are still practicing racism. And you have to understand what racism is. What is racism? Racism is the belief in the superiority of one so-called race over all other so-called races. That is all racism is. It's not how much you like someone or how much you dislike someone. Is it, you know, it's not about hate. It's not about hating people, although there are many racists that hate black people. But there are also many black people that hate white people. Okay, so racism is not hate. Racism is what it is. It's the belief in the so-called superiority of one race over all other so-called races. That's it. So homelessness, how many people are homeless in this city versus that city, has nothing to do with racism. However, the mere fact that white people are presenting it as such, as if it does have something to do with racism, is an attempt by them to confuse you. That's all it is. Steve Harvey accused by ex-employee of saying racist things. And this is what he is reported as saying: spit on white people. Okay. Steve Harvey is a comedian. He is a comedian that recently has gone mainstream. So now he is in white people's homes all across the country every single day on Family Feud and the Steve Harvey Show. Okay, now, so he has completely cleaned up his act. He has become someone who is non-threatening. He has become a black person who is acceptable to white people. He is no longer scary to white people. White people like Steve Harvey. There was a time, however, when Steve Harvey was not as known. There was a time when Steve Harvey performed in the Chitlin circuits, performed in front of all black people. A time where Mr. Steve Harvey was raw. His performance was a raw performance. And he said all types of inappropriate things that would make these refined people gasp and cover their mouths and say, "Oh my God, he said that." And remember, folks, that is all an act. I told you before, white people were not offended by Donald Trump's remarks. They were pretending to be, because white people are refined. They are pretending to be something they are not. They are constantly hiding their true selves. But anyway, spit on white people. I believe Steve Harvey has admitted to saying this. As a matter of fact, he did. I know he did because I read it. Okay, so he did say this comment in one of his routines. And he also explains it as, "Well, you know, I said a lot of things back in the day. I was more raw." I'm paraphrasing now, but basically he said that, you know, my routine was much more dirty and it was much more raw. It was much more raw. Okay. Now, this white person is trying to extort Steve Harvey. He has threatened Steve Harvey that, "Hey, if you don't pay me, I think like $20-some million, I am going to expose these tapes." What is this? First off, look at the headline: Steve Harvey accused by ex-employee of saying racist things. First off, black people are not racist. Steve Harvey saying spit on white people, that is not racist. You may say it's hateful, but Steve Harvey has been and still is a victim. I don't care how much money he has. He is a victim. You are a victim. I am a victim. all black people are victims. And Steve Harvey saying spit on white people in his comedy routine more than likely, number one, it was meant to be funny, obviously, and obviously to some people it was. But number two, more than likely, it's probably a reflection of how he feels to a certain extent because of how he has been treated. Because he is a nigga in the system of racism, white supremacy. And that means something. If you are black, you know what it means. If you are white, and you are happen to be listening to this podcast right now, shut up, because I know white people think they know everything about racism and they try to tell you. But see, you have to reverse this and tell them, don't talk to white people about racism. You immediately tell them, okay, thank you, not interested, and keep moving, because they will try to confuse you every time you speak to them about racism. It yields no fruit whatsoever. Talking to white people about racism is a waste of time. So if you are white and you are listening to this podcast right now, keep your mouth closed. You do not know what you're talking about. As a matter of fact, no, I think you do know what you're talking about. You are purposely trying to confuse black people because you are trying to hide your culpability. You know what you are doing. If there are any white people out there that are truly confused about racism, and if you happen to be listening to this podcast, learn. You are racist. You are inherently racist. If you want to not be racist, if you truly want to solve this problem, you have to give up being white in all thought, speech, and action, period. Oh, and by the way, you will never get kudos or any points from black people from doing so. If you're going to give up being white in all thought, speech, and action, your only reward is the result of all white people doing the same. Justice. That in and of itself is the reward. I suspect that white people are truly not interested in justice, a system in which no one is mistreated and those that need the most help receives the most constructive help. That's all it is. White people are not interested in that because white people are not interested in not mistreating people. Because white people are interested in controlling everything and having everything for themselves, period. However, if there are a few white people that are truly confused, what I just recommended would be the way to go about ending racism, replacing it with a system of justice. That's how you should proceed if you are truly trying to be a good, decent human being. Okay, Steve Harvey is not a racist. Let me just finish up here. Steve Harvey is not a racist. He is a victim. This article is more refinement. It implies that black people can be racist. Black people cannot be racist. The only guilty parties when it comes to racism, white people. Period. Stop being confused. Here's another article. Racism stain of son of Trump's national security advisor. This article is talking about Trump's national security advisor, Lieutenant Michael Flynn. His son has made racist comments on Twitter. Now, why is this news? If all white people are racist, this should not be news at all, because it's so commonplace. All white people are racist, which means that all white people are making racist comments all the time, which they are. See, if white people truly were honest, Like Dr. Francis Kress Welsing used to say, they would tell black people what they say about black people when black people are not around. And I also add to that how they behave when black people are not around. What are their actions when black people are not around and when they do not necessarily have to be held accountable? For instance, take the Trump election. There were no black people around when white people went into those booths. They did what they instinctively had to do. They voted in a racist. And I think that is at the core of what Dr. Frances Kress Welsing was saying when she would say, what is it that white people are saying when black people are not around? What is it that white people are saying when they don't have to practice refinement, when they can reveal themselves without any kind of accountability? When they can remove those curtains and show who they really are. I think that's what Dr. Frances Kress Welsing was getting at when she would ask the question, what is it that white people talk about when black people are not around? Okay, this article, again, folks, it is another example of refinement, racism stain of son of Trump's national security advisor. Someone wasted time to write this. All white people make racist comments. Yes, Lieutenant Michael Flynn is a racist, and he is Trump's national security advisor. Racist. Trump is a racist. Jeff Sessions is a racist. They're all racist. All white people are racist. Period. And the sooner we figure that out, the better. But this is just an example of refinement. Oh my God, he made racist comments. I sure don't make racist comments. This is terrible. This is terrible. Oh, you know, I love the nigger. I mean the black people. I love black people. You shouldn't say that. Don't say that. That's racist. People coming out against David Duke. That's racist. David Duke, he's so racist. Oh my God, he said that. White people are refined. As a matter of fact, I have a personal story for you right now. Your host experienced refinement this past week. I was in an elevator. Two old white people, a man and a woman, and a little boy, presumably their grandson, walk onto the elevator. Now I'm holding something in my hand, and while I'm holding something in my hand, I press the button of the floor I wanted to go to. This trashy white kid comes onto the elevator, bum rushes the things I'm holding in my hand, and then he takes his stinking nasty hand and he just starts pressing all the buttons on the elevator. Now, the adults, the old white man and the old white woman, turn red and they look at the boy and they say, stop that, you don't do that. You don't do that. That's what they said. And the little boy looked at them like, what are you talking about? Don't do that to who? Him? Referring to me. This nigger? That was the expression on the boy's face. He was confused. He was like, this nigger doesn't matter. What are you talking about? And I looked at the man and the woman, and that's it. They read the little boy's facial expression as well. And that's why they turned red, because they knew what was up. They was like, oh my God, our little Bobby isn't quite as refined as we would like him to be. They apologized, and I just shook my head. I said, no big deal. I didn't get mad. I didn't get emotional, start crying. Oh my God, this little white devil doesn't respect me. Oh my God, he's just turned my good day into such a terrible bad day, because he's reminding me that I'm nothing in the system of racism, white supremacy. No, I didn't take that attitude at all. As a matter of fact, it was refreshing. Sometimes you have to be reminded of your status in the system. And yeah, the little boy looked at me like, what? This nigga doesn't matter. What are you talking about? Why should I respect his space? Why should I wait until he's done pressing the button of the floor he wants to go to first? See, that was his attitude. But make no mistake about it, folks. He is a white supremacist in training. And the grandparents were trying to be refined. That's why they looked at me. And that's why, you know, they looked at me and they turned red. And that's why they apologized. Because they knew what was up. They knew what was going on. That kid had no respect for my space whatsoever. And they were embarrassed. However, they're still racist. Because at the end of the day, they are still identifying as white in thought, speech, and action. And they are not going to change. Refinement is just a way to hide what you were really doing, which is dominating. White people are dominating. And it is a way for them to hide the fact that they are dominating. We are going to take a quick break. You are listening to The Barbershop here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network. Be right back. Problem can be solved, it must be understood. And too many black people do not understand racism. Go to www.cobrasinaction.org today and learn more about racism and how we can solve this problem. Welcome back to the show. I am your host, RG Reed, Cobra number one, and you are listening to The Barbershop here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network, exposing racism, white supremacy exactly for what it is, so that you and your loved ones are not confused. I am going over just some articles that I ran across this week that I found very interesting, and I will continue on. Let's proceed. Kanye West cancels LA concert one night after going on epic rant in Sacramento. First off, I've said this before and I will say it again. All black people are victims of racism. Kanye West, victim of racism, white supremacy, is no exception. Lil Wayne, his recent remarks, as disgusting and as self-hating as they were, I will not come on here and call Lil Wayne names. I saw that a lot of people had some very nasty things to say about Lil Wayne. And it's understandable. But direct all of that energy, direct all of that anger to the real culprits. You see, don't direct your anger at Lil Wayne for being confused. He is a confused nigga, period. Kanye West is a confused and sick nigga, period. Yes, he literally is sick. They checked him into a hospital. See? He may be having some type of mental breakdown or something. I don't know. But if you go online and if you read those rants, read what he was saying, a lot of it was, you couldn't comprehend what he was trying to say. I mean, I felt what he was saying because the gist of it was that, hey, creativity, there is no creativity on radio. There's pay to play. It's not fair. It needs to stop. And Jay-Z and Beyonce are participating. That was the gist of what he was saying. Oh, and that, you know, big radio controls everything and that they're stifling creativity, blah, blah, blah. That was the gist of what he was saying. But then he was talking about people sending hitmen after him and killing them and, you know, talking about Mark Zuckerberg, racist. I mean, you know, it was too much. And he was rambling. And you can tell something was wrong. And let me also throw in there that Kanye West is in a tragic arrangement. That fact should not be forgotten. He is married to a white woman. Okay, so Kanye West is sick. He's in a hospital now. He checked himself in. But let me remind you, you are living in a system of racism, white supremacy. All black people, to a certain extent, are mentally sick. Because I don't really see any, well, let me say this. Black people collectively are sick. We hate ourselves. This is why we act the way we do. I'm sorry, but you get some animal to go into a church and shoot 9 innocent people. The next day, the response from a lot of black people, the response was, we forgive him. Oh, Lord, we forgive him. Oh, he know not what he do, Father. He know not what he do. See, that was the response of black people. Oh, man, you got to forgive. You got to forgive. Because I'm a son of God. The law teaches us to forgive. Because we gonna be some good niggas and we gonna get our reward in heaven. This is how black people think. You go to church every Sunday and you think you can dance and shout your problems away. Meanwhile, black children, black men, black women being raped, assaulted, shot like dogs by police officers, and you sitting here, you dancing, jumping, screaming, yelling, all things through Christ, all things through Christ. Let me tell you something. I am a spiritual person. I believe in God. I know there is a God. No question about it at all. As a matter of fact, the most godless people are white people, in my opinion, because white people are the people that operate under the assumption that they themselves are all empowering. This is how egotistical and just how, yeah, this is how egotistical these people are. They don't believe in anything but themselves. And that's it. Nothing more empowering than they are. And their behavior shows this, because people that truly believed in God would not mistreat other people that are of God in the manner that they do. Simple. I don't care how religious, I don't care how spiritual a white person tries to come across to you. I don't care how spiritual they appear to you. I don't care if it's a white person with a congregation of 100,000 members in some church somewhere. It doesn't matter. He doesn't believe in God. She doesn't believe in God. Because a person that believed in God would believe in justice. White people do not believe in and they do not practice justice. This is how I know they do not believe in God. Black people, on the other hand, black people definitely believe in God. I would say, in terms of practicing spirituality, black people are probably the best. This is not me giving kudos to you, however, because I will follow up with this. Black people, collectively, are cowards. Black people, collectively, are cowards. Every Sunday, adults are going to some building somewhere, screaming, yelling, and shouting, looking to solve their problems. This is a reflection of a stupid people, and also of a people that hate themselves, because quite honestly, I don't think that most black people truly do not have some type of understanding of how to solve their problem. I think at the end of the day, a lot of black people are just scared to face up to white supremacy. That's what I think is really going on. And black people collectively are acting as cowards, including myself, including your host. I am fixing myself as of currently, right now, as I am speaking to you. I am fixing myself, and you need to do the same. You need to examine your life and your behaviors and point out what have you done to truly counter racism. And I would suspect hardly nothing at all. So yes, black people not doing really anything to solve their problem. And then they push their problem on God. This is the excuse to not do anything. Oh, I'm gonna put it in the Lord's hands. No. This is insulting to the whole concept of God. God is in everything. God is in white people. I'll say that again. God is in white people because white people are humans. No. Let me take that back. I personally believe that nobody truly is a human because none of us truly are humane. However, white people are people. Black people are people. You are a person. And you are a creation of God. And white people are the same. You see, I hear black people speak of white people as if they're evil, as if they're devils, but they do evil things. Their system is evil, but white people are of God just as much as you are. So what does that tell you about God? Let me say that again. White people are of God just as much as you are, fool. So what does that say about God? I don't think that jumping in some church somewhere, screaming and yelling and dancing, I don't think that's going to solve white supremacy. I really don't. It is not proven to be the way to go about solving this problem. God has given us free will, all of us. He has given us a mind, and I believe that black people are not exercising their free will in a constructive manner to solve their problem. And I think it's really as simple as that. You have a problem. All problems have answers. Black people are choosing to play around and to duck and dodge. And like I said, to be cowards. Collectively, we are cowards. And if that stings you, well, good. It needs to sting you. Now, get off your ass and truly become devoted to countering racism. And the first thing you can do is pick up Nellie Fuller's book, pick up his code guide. Just go to, I don't have the title. The title is too long, but he has developed a compensatory code guide for victims of racism to solve problems. What problem? The problem of racism. It is a code guide. It is a book. Go to www.producejustice.com. Pick up that. If you have any self-respect for yourself, pick the book up today. Because it really is the only book out there that speaks on specifics as to what you need to do as an individual to start to counter racism. If you have any self-respect at all, pick up the book now. Don't be a nigga. The politics of Thanksgiving, keeping the peace post-election. Let me tell you something. What am I thanking? Thanking for what? There will be Black people today sitting around the table eating a turkey, eating greens, eating mashed potatoes, eating macaroni and cheese, eating dressing, gravy, ham, rolls, feeding their fat face. And we are supposed to be thankful. We are celebrating Thanksgiving. Thankful for what? How many Native Americans were slaughtered during the Trail of Tears? Let's look this up right now. You see, we are going to expose crackers today. Thanksgiving. Big ass joke. How many Native Americans died during Trail of Tears? White people are really good on keeping stats. Let's see. Here it says 4,000. 4,000 Cherokee people died of cold, hunger, and disease on their way to the Western lands. Okay. All right. So historians estimate that for the plague, America's population was anywhere between 20 and 100 million people. All right. White people brought the plague over here. White people give you the impression that, oh, they're so superior. They were able to remove the Indians themselves because of their superiority. White people and their disease wiped out most Native Americans. It's really that simple. 90%, according to this article on cracked.com, cracked.com. 90% of the Native population wiped out by European disease. Diseases brought over by Europeans and that spread west. Okay. You see just how tragic white people have been. They came here uninvited. They had no solutions to the problems they caused Native Americans. And as a matter of fact, the problem of disease which they brought to Native Americans only expedited the intentions of white people anyway, which was to remove them from their lands. So why are we celebrating Thanksgiving? Thanks for what? For plague? For the genocide of Native Americans? People like to point to Hitler as if he was some kind of anomaly in world history. Oh, look at Hitler. Oh, how bad he was. Oh, he was terrible. Look at what he did to the Jews. The Jewish people are here. They have a state. It's called Israel. Here in the States, here in the Americas, white people wiped out Native Americans. They wiped out an entire group of people. 90% of Native Americans were killed from European disease, from the plague. And on top of that, Europeans themselves removed the remaining Native Americans from any kind of influence, any kind of land, any kind of power. It's sad to say, but the plague worked in the favor of Europeans because they wanted to remove Native Americans anyway. You see how that works? And yes, you have black people sitting around the table saying things like, boy, I sure is glad they got me from Africa. I sure is glad I'm an American. Yeah. Saying stupid, ignorant stuff like that. Not knowing anything about white people. Not knowing anything about their history. Man, I'm glad I'm not in Africa. I'm glad they brought me here. I'm glad. Nigga talk. And last but not least, Donald Trump's popularity surges. Well, should that really be a surprise? I told you. Donald Trump is a white person that is respected by white people, period. It does not matter. I don't care what you heard on MSNBC. Donald Trump is liked by white people. Do not fall for their refinement. Remember, not even a month ago, the world was going to end if Trump won the presidency. People were going to move to Canada. People were, oh my God, the United States was going to turn into a Nazi state. All types of lies being thrown out there by white people to scare niggas. President Obama participating in the lies because he is as confused as anyone else. You see, President Obama is good at doing what he is told. Get Bin Laden, nigga. Give us your phone, nigga. Send troops back to Iraq, nigga. Apologize for calling the police department stupid, nigga. You see, this is white people talking to President Obama. You lie, nigga. Isn't that what the congressman said during Obama's first State of the Union? You lie. Well, let me just throw on to that nigga, because that's what he was saying. He was saying, you lie, nigga. Support Blue Lives Matter, nigga. You better not support Trayvon Martin, nigga. You better not support Black Lives Matter, nigga. Stay in line. And this is not unique to President Obama, because you don't have black leaders really in charge of anything. You have black faces in high places, but that's it. Black people are told what to do. Even amongst the so-called black leadership class, leading what? What are they leading? Because last time I checked, white supremacy is in full effect, and there really is no credible challenge to white people's power at all. So I don't know what we're talking about when we're saying some type of black leadership class. That is refinement in and of itself. White people tricking you that you have black leaders that are doing things for you, well, that have the ability to do things for you. They don't. And then when it is discovered that some black leader is not really doing anything for you, black people, confused as ever, calls this person and Uncle Tom, oh, he's a no good bootlicking nigga, blah, blah. Not understanding the full scope of racism. There ain't no black piece, there ain't no black person in some white position that's going to do anything for you. Because black people are powerless. As of right now, as collectively, as a whole, we are powerless. We have no power. And it's really as simple as that. So yes, Donald Trump's popularity surges. Why is this? His popularity is surging because he was always popular. Sure, you had some white people, because of refinement, it was appropriate for them to act all scared and nervous of a Donald Trump presidency. Oh my God, you know, what will he do for homo? What will he do to homosexual advancement and civil rights advancement? What is he going to do? What is he going to do to women's rights? All these things that these liberals pretend to care about, they do not care about justice. They do not care about people not being mistreated. They care about themselves not being mistreated. So, you know, you have a white person that's a homosexual. They don't want to be mistreated, but they don't care about you being mistreated. To the extent that you can help their cause, they will pretend as if they care about black people, but they really do not. And now you're seeing that show itself right now. Oh, well, let's give Donald Trump a chance. And, oh, you know, Donald Trump, maybe he won't be so bad. After all, I've heard of and seen reports in which white liberals have said things like that. And to be quite honest, if Donald Trump decides to support homosexuality and homosexual policies and just the overall advancement of the homosexual movement, if Donald Trump decides to support white women's so-called rights, the equality of white women, I guarantee you that these groups won't say shit about black people's mistreatment. That's really what I'm saying, period. I have no questions about that at all. So you need to wake up and understand the system you are living in. That's the end of the show, folks. I hope you all enjoyed it and found it constructive. Please visit cobrasinaction.org and like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, YouTube, SoundCloud, and Instagram. Last but not least, folks, please donate. This is a very time-intensive, financially intensive endeavor, but articulating racism so that we can counter it is the most important thing any of us can do. So please support this effort. Remember, catch the show every Wednesday and Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. here on the Black Talk Radio Network, and archives of the show are available on www.cobrasinaction.org. This is RG Reed signing off. Until next time, peace.